Support comes from the Janis Hawkins Cultural Arts Park on the main campus of Troy University. Featuring the International Arts Center, the Fred Nall Hollis Museum, and the Hua Baoju Gallery. More information at troy.edu/artspark.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. In part two of our interview with Jeanette Grantham, Executive Director of Victims of Crime and Leniency, the nonprofit Vocal, she shares her three-decade fight for justice to honor victims of violent crime. In 1979, her brother, Sheriff Neil Grantham of Coffee County, Alabama, was murdered, and it changed the direction of her life. She joins us by Skype from Vocal headquarters in Montgomery. Jeanette Grantham, thank you so much for joining us again by Skype. The last time we talked, you told us a heartbreaking story about losing your brother, Neil, who was in law enforcement. You lost him to violence. Whatever happened to that outcome?
Well, I didn't get the justice that I had hoped for. He had gotten the death penalty back in 1982. After 32 years, my older sisters and I, we went to just about every hearing that there was. We actually had gone to the Alabama Supreme Court twice. You sort of can put it in the back of your mind, and then I would be driving my car and something would come over the radio and say that the murder of Sheriff Neil Grantham had been appealed and there would be a hearing at a certain place and certain time. And it's just horrible when you hear it like that. I mean, I heard how he got murdered on the radio as I was rushing to the hospital that he had actually died. So that's one thing that Vocal really stresses, that we do not want our victims to hear about a hearing about the event and everything through the media. That was one of the important things that I stressed when I was at the Attorney General's office, that I had to get to them as soon as I heard about it so they wouldn't hear it, you know, on the radio.
Has the law changed at all in this 32 years that you have been laboring on behalf of other crime victims? What changes have come about?
Well, before Vocal, there was no crime victims' right law at all for victims in Alabama, not even one. That was in 1982. As I had probably told you before about Miriam Sheehan and her and nine other individuals who had lost a loved one to a homicide, volunteers got together and they formed Vocal on November 15, 1982. Today, because of Vocal, there is 29 victims' rights laws in Alabama. That's not counting the ones that we got, that maybe there was a law already and we got some changes to it. 29 laws that Vocal and crime victims across Alabama got passed by going to the legislature, talking to individuals, getting other victims involved. I'm very proud of all those. This year, we've already had the Good Time Law that was passed. That was by Senator Weaver. I've been trying to get the Good Time Law changed because, actually, I blame the Good Time Law for my brother because he got out on the Good Time Law. But now it is actually passed. I think the governor sent me something and said she signed it. The governor and Attorney General Steve Marshall have been wonderful to crime victims. When we see that there's something that's wrong and we show them, I know the governor helped us out back in 2019 when we got parole reform, because I had all these records and I went and I showed them to her and she understood, and her and the AG got together and they made some changes and we got some laws passed that benefit crime victims, or at least give us equal rights now.
Jeanette, can you tell us what some current concerns are before the legislature right now from Vocal?
Yes, the big concern is right now that there are individuals in this state who actually have banded together, and they are upset because no one is getting paroled. They're not specific about them being violent or nonviolent. They just want them paroled, and they think that as soon as they are eligible for parole, they should be out. Right now, 85% are violent offenders. They're murderers, rapists, child predators, robbers, and vocal 3 days a week. We go to the parole board. We have researched these. We have talked with the victims and can see the danger of letting these individuals out because of the crimes they committed. And I'm not talking about just everyday crimes. I'm talking about horrific murders, maybe where they murdered 3 or more people, things like that. That is what is in our prison, very, very violent. And so there are several bills by a House member that would do all kinds of things to our parole system. Right now, there is a matrix, a piece of paper, where they're supposed to make marks on, and that piece of paper is going to tell them where that individual is a good low to medium risk to reoffend. And the board can use that as a tool, but they don't have to use it. If it is used, 79% to 82% or 83% will get paroled every day. Right now, last year, they only paroled about 10%, but they had this early release, supervised early release, and it released last year 17%. It's going to be a lot more than that this year. But if you add that together, they were actually 30-something percent that was let out, which is about what the parole board had done by itself the year before. But to think that every day when we go, because we only protest murders, sex offenders, any kind of a crime against a child, we're there. If it's chemical endangerment, rape, we're there if it's a child. We do protest some robberies, but mostly it's sex crimes, homicides, and child abuse. We also do domestic violence.
Let me ask you just one basic question. Publicity-wise, why do you think so much attention is paid to the criminal and the victim is forgotten?
That's the way it is when they have court trials. By the time the case gets to trial, you see very few victims over there, the family. But the inmate side, the defendant side, will be full of people. People begin to feel more sorry for him than they did the loved one that was murdered.
Jeanette, I think where the other side is coming from is prison overcrowding.
And as for prison overcrowding, the main reason we have overcrowding is crime. People commit crimes. And I think drugs is one of our big initiators into this. There is other ways to reduce the overcrowding than to let them out.
Can you give us the vocal website which lists all of the services of your nonprofit organization?
It's vocal at vocalonline.org.
After your brother, Sheriff Neil Grantham, was murdered in Coffee County, Alabama, and your life took this unexpected turn on behalf of victims as a crime fighter, do you feel like this is what you were meant to do?
I'm here, and I'm doing what I think that my brother would want me to do. I just cannot stand the thought that he would die in vain, that some good has to come from that. All we want is equal rights. And for the offender to be held accountable for their crime. We're not asking for anybody innocent to be sent to prison, but just to hold people accountable. And crime is just risen higher and higher in the last few years, and that's more and more victims.
I want to thank you for joining us today and representing the other side that we hear so little about, the rights of the victims and particularly their survivors.
Thank you, Carolyn, so much. Appreciate it.
Joining us by Skype was Jeanette Grantham, Executive Director of Vocal, the nonprofit Victims of Crime and Leniency. Among the services Vocal provides are support groups, victim advocacy in the criminal justice system, and trial attendance. The website, vocalonline.org, also has information about the April 28th Candlelight Vigil to honor the memory of victims of violent crime. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.